It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. This morning we'll learn a little about the classic Christmas carol, Silent Night.
I've always known the story of Silent Night. It's one of those things that, you know, you hear over and over again, how they wrote it in a hurry. You know, it was, I think the organ broke and they had to, the night before, you know, had to produce a carol. And so they wrote this thing and they played it on guitars or whatever. I mean, I don't know how much of that story is true, but that's what I've always heard about.
This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. On this week's episode of Inside Appalachia, we'll share some of our favorite holiday stories. We'll take you to a tiny mountain town of Helvetia, West Virginia, which has a connection to the beloved Christmas classic, Silent Night. Eric Douglas and Molly Bourne report.
Smoke curls into the sky from the chimney of a small, wood-frame house along the flowing middle fork of the Buchanan River. Inside, pianist and composer Jack Gibbons sits at his piano in a back room. On the walls are likenesses of his favorite composers, including Bach and Chopin. He's rehearsing a song written 200 years ago that has become one of the most recognizable Christmas carols of all time. It is also a favorite of the Helvetia Community Choir, a song related to a previous owner of the very same house.
I've always known the story of Silent Night. It's one of those things that, you know, you hear over and over again, how they wrote it in a hurry. You know, it was, I think the organ broke and they had to, the night before, you know, had to produce a carol. And so they wrote this thing and they played it on guitars or whatever. I mean, I don't know how much of that story is true, but that's what I've always heard about. It is an absolutely stunningly beautiful piece. And it is so simple. I mean, it is an unbelievably simple piece.
As the story goes, in 1818, Father Joseph Moore, a parish priest from Austria, approached organist Franz Xaver Gruber about writing a music score for a Christmas carol. Moore had written the lyrics a few years before, and the men planned to debut the song in the St. Nicholas Parish Church in Oberndorf, Austria. The song was Stille Nacht, or in English, Silent Night. According to published reports, sometime during World War I, Franz Gruber's nephew Hans settled in West Virginia, in Montrose, also in Randolph County. He was a doctor and moved to Helvetia after feeling threatened by locals apparently hostile toward German speakers because of the war.
Helvetia is the Latin name for Switzerland. The West Virginia town was founded in 1869 by a group of Swiss families who moved to these mountains after first settling in Brooklyn. According to various historical accounts of Helvetia, they sought a place to live freely, to practice art. In New York, they formed a society of Swiss or German speakers, and a member who had done some land surveying in West Virginia recommended the mountain wilderness.
It's fitting. Jack Gibbons came to Helvetia because he loves the remoteness of the mountains, the quiet. He has a place to focus on his work without the racket of city life. Gibbons didn't know it at the time, but the house he moved into 2 years ago was once owned by Dr. Gruber.
I had no idea. We were signing the deeds for the house, saw the name Gruber House, and wondered what that was, and I actually then, you know, looked it up on the internet, and that's when I found out about the history of it, and we were already here. It was extraordinary. It was a very happy coincidence.
Jack Gibbons is a world-renowned pianist and composer from England. He came to West Virginia in 2010 to work as artist-in-residence at Davis and Elkins College. Even before he moved to Helvetia, he had written his own version of Silent Night, a more complex composition. Still, he said, that doesn't make it better.
Today, he invites the local community choir to his home to practice for their annual Christmas concert in the local church. Of course, one of the mainstays of that concert is Silent Night.
The Christmas Eve service, I think, is so special, you know, where everyone sings Silent Night in German by candlelight, and I think it's amazing. I love the fact that Helvetia keeps this tradition going.
The tradition of singing Silent Night in German can be traced to Eleanor Farner Mayu, a woman known as the Matriarch of Helvetia. She was the mother of Heidi Mayu Arnett, the current owner of the Hutte restaurant in town. According to Joe McEnroy, a member of the community choir, It all came down to food.
Well, Heidi's mother was a character, and she and the church didn't always see eye to eye on things ever, but she did say she would feed the group at her house there after the service if we would sing Stille Nacht in German.
For Gibbons, Silent Night is a perfect combination of heart and music, even if its origins remain a bit of a mystery.
We don't know much about the composer. He was a teacher, and I've obviously looked at some of his other music, but that one seemed to have really hit the nail on the head. I mean, I think it was basically inspiration. I think that's what happened. And also the words. I mean, we mustn't forget the words are really beautiful.
For Inside Appalachia, I'm Eric Douglas.
And I'm Molly Warren.
In Helvetia, West Virginia.
To hear more, listen to this weekend's episode of Inside Appalachia, Sunday morning at 7 and again Sunday evening at 6. Almost all major holidays around the world revolve around eating special foods together. Health reporter Kara Lofton and fifth grader Grace Harper explore how these holiday traditions help bring families together.
At her home in Canelton, West Virginia, 11-year-old Grace Harper is helping her mom make almond cookies, like the ones her great-grandmother used to make.
Open up the bag of almonds, and we need about a cup, I believe. Let me look.
Grace was part of a semester-long youth reporting project between West Virginia Public Broadcasting and about a dozen Valley Elementary School fifth graders. Before making cookies, she interviewed her parents about some of their favorite holiday food traditions.
Did you make, like with your grandma, any of these sweets, and how did it make you feel?
Well, every time I walked into Mamaw's house during the holiday season, it was very warm, cozy. Mamaw had lights at the windows. You would smell fresh baked goods in the kitchen with Christmas music, Bing Crosby playing White Christmas in the background.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas.
And it was just always a fun memory that I always had.
That's Grace's mom, Carrie. For many people, food and the act of preparing certain foods are nostalgic. Chris Wharton is a professor of nutrition at Arizona State University.
Food represents a sort of defining narrative about us, and it's a connection to our families and our culture. But we convene around meals every single day, you know, as a matter of course. But also we do it certainly for special occasions. And so we celebrate with food for all these reasons, everything, you know, from birth through to death.
He said on one level, there's the primary sense of security of having food at all. And then there's the pleasure we get in indulging in special foods around the holidays.
And doing these things, I think, amplifies the specialness of events that mark key moments in our lives.
Denise Coppleton is a professor of sociology at the College of Rockport in New York. She says food also plays the role of establishing ritual and connection within a family unit. Like the Harper, she says, her mother used to bake cookies around the holidays.
And it's something that I can reconnect to the past, to that time when I was doing it with my mom and my sister, even though they're not present with me when I'm baking with my daughters. It calls to mind and it forges this connection with the family of the past and the family that's currently, you know, that I currently have. It's not just coming together to eat, but it's what you also do when you come together to eat, right? You renew your sense of family. You share your activities of the day together. And it's those things that we often do over a meal or through the sharing of food or the preparation of food that really helps to define what family is as opposed to some other group.
After interviewing her parents, Grace rolled up her sleeves and began to help her mom with the cookies.
Get yourself a hand like this, okay? Just put it up in a ball, and then we're just gonna go just like this. Put them, I'd say, maybe about that far apart.
And I feel like hanging out with family, especially like with your grandparents, because you know they won't be around for long, is really special to me, because I get to make, like, for the traditions and stuff like that, I can pass it down to my kids and tell them, like, this is what I do with my grandma, and like if I would stay the night with them, I would do this with my grandma, and I would always help her in the kitchen.
Grace's dad, Tim, sat in the corner and watched while his wife and daughter made cookies together.
It's important that we don't lose what we have captured and what we have through generations of family. And if we just forget about it, then they pass away and they're forgotten. So we do these things a lot of times to keep those memories alive, because they're important, and so we pass them on.
And so, from one generation to the next, dough becomes cookies.
So, let's go ahead and get the pan out.
And families pass on the foods that bind them together. For Appalachia Health News, I'm Kara Lofton.
Appalachia Health News is a project of West Virginia Public Broadcasting with support from Marshall Health, Charleston Area Medical Center, and WVU Medicine. Songwriter and multi-instrumentalist Seth Gleer's latest album, Birds, features this week's Mountain Stage Song of the Week, Water on Fire. The song is a reflection on natural resources, industry, and commercialism, recorded last October on Mountain Stage.
Best things in life are free, so they take from the birds and the bees, 'cause they want money. That's what they want. Like a nail through the wrist of my pride, if you live to sell and nothing about, shell like honey. More money, that's what they want. Their perfume. My water's on fire. What's it worth to you? The cows have fallen down. The earthquake now shakes my house. The river boils, drills that coil. Lied to the promised land, from Oklahoma to Afghanistan. We go for morals, they stay for oil. My water's on fire, my land is their perfume. My water's on fire, what's it worth to you? Freedom is a word we bought to turn the prairie to a parking lot. The market's jumping, wells are pumping. This would be more. My water's on fire, my land is their perfume.
That was Seth Kallir singing Water on Fire. To hear this performance and more, tune in Friday and Saturday nights at 8, right here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. West Virginia Morning is produced with help from Molly Bourne, Jessica Lilly, Carol Lofton, Liz McCormick, Dave Mistich, Brittany Patterson, and Roxy Todd. Our news director is Jesse Wright. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.